Welcome, 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 everyone, to your girl, Queen Sunny Honey, always bringing you solutions you can use. Today in the studio, we have someone from my past. Back in the day when we were young, we're not kids anymore. And some days when I see this brother, KJ Bradley, I always wish I was a kid again because of the memories we had. Going all the way back, I present to you not only my brother, but a journalist, the host of the 10-Minute Stories on the Easy Way Network, and the founder, owner, and boss man himself of KTaneInvestment.com. I present to you none other than my brother, KJ Bradley. Are you on the line?
I am. Thank you so much for such an amazing introduction. How are you, sis?
Wonderful, man. I'm so glad to reconnect with you after all these years. Tell the people, where did we meet?
All right. So, once upon a time, as my daughter liked to say, we met many, many moons ago up in the frozen tundra of Fairbanks, Alaska, in an organization called Greater Works Christian Center, I believe is the name. I know it's been a couple of years. Man, that was... Just listening to you do the introduction just brought back so many fun memories of such a great time. Just being around good people with good energy.
Yes. And we were so young, just coming in. You were in the military fresh. I was out there new in the world pursuing graduate school. And all these years later, I'm looking back and you are out here living. We went from living in Alaska, and now you're living in my home state.
That's right. That's right. I am here in Palmetto. What's it? The Palmetto State, I believe it's called. South Carolina.
That's right.
Trying to get my feet wet, man, and forge new beginnings, I guess.
Well, tell the people, where are you originally from?
Absolutely. So I'm originally from a small town in Georgia. A lot of people, not too many people heard of it. It's called Atlanta. It's in the north central part of Georgia. And we were just a small country town, man. It seems to have grown a little bit since then, but I love to tell people about how small and how rural it was back in the day before we got put on the map, if you will.
Wow. Where did your journey take you? I told the people a little like you went into the military. Tell us about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined the military. I graduated high school in the year 2000. Went to college, Morris Brown College, 2 years right there in Atlanta. And then I just kind of decided that the college scene wasn't really doing it for me. I was a bit of a thrill seeker, and I wasn't getting that thrill. Chasing the traditional brick and mortar college. Like, it was cool. I had great mentors, and the college scene was dope at the time, but I just needed something different. So literally went to a recruiter and was like, hey, I'm not thinking about joining up. I just came to get some information. 6 hours later, I was on a bus to Fort Bend, Georgia, signed up in the military. So I did my basic training down in Fort Bend, Georgia, which is outside of Columbus, and did a little AIT time out of Fort Sill, Oklahoma. And then I got shipped to Fairbanks, Alaska in December 2002. And then that began the transformation of my life. First time I'd ever been on a plane. First time I'd ever been out of the state of Georgia. Just a really, really weird time. And then I got there in the middle of December, in the middle of winter solstice, where it was dark at 2 in the afternoon. So I was completely confused. And a funny story is my sponsor never came to pick me up. So I literally sat at the airport for about 6 hours, just hanging out, brand new, fresh off the boat, didn't know who to call. And finally, there was a guy who got off a later flight and was like, hey, you look like you don't belong here. Are you a soldier? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I'm just getting here from AIT. I'm supposed to be going to a place called Fort Wayne, right? But my sponsor never came and got me. They literally packed me in their minivan with their kids and took me to Burger King and took me to Post, and it was dope. And then come to find out, the guy was actually in the same unit I was going to be in. We ended up becoming really good friends.
Wow. See, you know, that's what living in Alaska meant for me too, that connectiveness. I remember in meeting you, there were times that we literally had slumber parties with gatherings of people and
ate
great food and just could sleep with your doors open.
Yeah, just sit back, we, you know, play cards and laugh and joke and just, I mean, the time, when you look back on it in the grand scheme of things, you realize, man, that was so rare for that time to be able to connect with so many people on such an intimate level. And just, you know, just outright trust. And that's something that I cherish. I really look back on that time with fond memories. I mean, you know, there was good, bad, and indifferent, but I mean, overall, I really enjoyed the time, man. And it's amazing all these years later, the bond we still have, and we're still able to reach out and connect and still have that same instant connection. It's amazing.
Yes. And to let you know, I had a weird first day story in Fairbanks as well. When my flight was coming in, we were over Seattle and suddenly there was just like these white flurries raining down in the plane above my head. And you know, your first intuition is like, this is some crazy movie, like is there a crack in the ceiling or something? Are we about to fall? But no, it was my Quaker Instant Grits that was in the top cabinet. And I stood up and, you know, got the package. I was like, everybody, it's okay. And I descended into darkness too, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was just nighttime. So, but I learned to really value, especially when you look back on how young we were. For you, for me, that was like my senior year of undergraduate. I just graduated from Claflin University in Orangeburg, South Carolina. So, yes, to go.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Claflin, yeah, man.
Yes. So, tell the people, now that you have taken this journey full circle, what we want to know is all about the business side, because my goal is to just let everyone know Black businesses do exist. This is an exciting time to know that you are up and running. Tell the people about your company.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I thank you again for this opportunity. So, parent company is called KT Investments Group. And what initially started out as a real estate investment firm, that's how we ended up cutting our teeth in the early 2010s. Kind of evolved into something completely different that I wasn't really expecting. So like I said, we kind of got our feet wet doing some investments, some real estate investments, and I had a great time doing it, and everything was turning out well. And then we got orders to go to Germany, my wife and I, in 2015. So at the time, talking to my wife, like, hey, it's going to be a hassle trying to, you know, manage all this stuff from overseas. So we ended up liquidating 6 properties, just selling everything off and heading to Germany. And while I was over there, we kind of redeveloped or re-strategized and kind of reworked the business plan a little bit. If you hear any noise, I got daddy daycare going on. All three of my little raptors are here with me. So they should be running for snacks here in a set. But anyway, so we kind of did that and had a little bit of capital. And my wife just challenged me to kind of find my passion. It was starting to get late in my military career, so we started, you know, thinking about. Daddy's up doing an interview, baby. I have to call. Go upstairs to your room. I'll do the puzzle after I finish the interview, baby.
Queen Sunny, honey, loves the kids. I teach children all day long, groups of 75, so I understand totally how it is.
Yeah. So we ended up staying in Germany 2 years, redeveloped the business plan, and when I got back to El Paso in 2000, I want to say 2015, we ended up coming back to Fort Bliss, Texas, and I was pretty integrated with the community at that time. I was doing little league coaching with the Northeast Raiders organization there. Shout out to those guys, man, for giving me an opportunity to cut my teeth in the youth football coaching realm. And I did this really cool project where we would go to the veterans home really lining up with what's in the history book. And we all kind of sat back and pondered on that and was like, man, you know what, you're right. It's completely different to hear their story as opposed to what's being put in the history book. And that kind of sparked the interest and kind of got the ball rolling on the whole My 10-Minute Stories concept. And I know that was a long way around to get to how we evolved into My 10-Minute Stories, but that's kind of where we started from and how we got back. So My 10-Minute Stories, which is a great show, we just finished wrapping up season one, is a show about promoting veterans who make that hard transition. And a lot of times, guys come into the military very young, and they grow up in the military. So their entire identity, their entire adult life is focused around that military structure. So when it's time to take the boots off and take the uniform off, what do you do next? And that's kind of what we wanted to focus on. And then in addition to that, it kind of evolved into like, okay, well, a lot of these guys are getting out of the military and, you know, and doing amazing things inside of the community. So we want to kind of capture that story as well. And in doing that, a lot of the guys were like, hey, well, you know, I own my own business too. And I'm like, hey, man, that's great. How are you getting promoted? And they was like, well, we don't really know. So I was like, hey, that's a great opportunity for us. Let's go ahead and promote that as well. So we kind of evolved into this big thing where we're kind of a high-listen about whole military stories, promoting community events and getting the community leaders on here to tell us what's going on in their neck of the woods. And also promoting veteran business and trying to get those guys out there, man, and get those guys, let the community know. There's such a negative stigma with disabled veterans, PTSD, and that whole nine. So we wanted to get the face back out there. And I'll tell you one thing we did start doing this year, and I know I'm being long-winded, so I apologize.
I love it.
the law enforcement community, we recently started reaching out to those guys with a new initiative where we're trying to reintroduce the block back to the police force. So once or twice a month, we kind of go out and we interview policemen, policewomen, first responders, EMTs, and even spouses. And we just kind of bring them on a show and just let them talk about not necessarily what's going on in society, but just kind of reintroduce the community to the person behind it, to the person behind the badge. And we do that with the intent of letting the community know and also letting the police force know, hey, it's so much more to the guy behind the badge. It's so much more to that guy in the street that, you know, that you think is the suspect. I think there was a disconnect in the community, man, where policemen, they used to know their community. The blocks that they patrolled, they used to know Miss Johnson's grandson on the street. They used to know that, you know, the Williams liked guns. So if I see, you know, old man Williams with his shotgun on the back porch, he probably had a little bit of moonshine. He don't mean no harm. He just out there hanging out. And I think when we got away from that community policing concept, that's what initially started the disconnect and the discontentment within the community and our law enforcement. So our goal is kind of bring all of that stuff together on the forefront, man, and then just take that initiative and put it forward and move forward and reintroducing the police force and the law enforcement community back to the community that they serve and vice versa, try to rebuild those relationships.
Who inspired you to do this?
I actually had quite a few inspirations. Believe it or not, Malcolm X was a huge inspiration. And not necessarily for the rebellious streak in me, because I always grew up, you know, I had a little bit of Malcolm and Marcus in me. Not so much Martin. Maybe late radical year Martin, but I kind of grew up and built my personality and my core beliefs around Marcus Garvey and Malcolm. So moving forward, just understanding how Malcolm made the transition and realizing, you know, it's not necessarily all inherent evil, but it takes a community. If you realize that you were this nation, you're willing to fight on my side, because I can't do it without you. I tried to do it without you, but the systems in place won't allow me to do it without you. So if you're going to be a genuine ally and help me do this, then I welcome you with open arms. And that's kind of what kind of got me there. term story. But for the sake of the show, yeah, reunite the country and bring us back together.
You know, and that's all that this show is all about, is seeking solutions. One of the things I would like to just honor you for is the simple fact that there has to be a solution when you describe a problem. We know the problems that are amidst, and it's nothing to sit back and just watch it and do nothing, but to come together and to remind each other, hey, that's my uncle who's an officer. So the rules, how the nature of man right now, to share the stories of, hey, okay, here's a concept. When you look at business, there was a list that went out of saying these corporations support 45. And somehow, some people said, let's no longer shop there. My initial question was, what happens to the person who owned a franchise who is a person of color? What happens to the person who is employed by them and is putting diapers and Enfamil, making it available because of working for, let's say, Wendy's or whatever company that was supporting 45? So thank you for actually giving the people the solution that we need. When we're looking at veterans, they're also one of a demographic is that's been disrespected and left out in spite of all these so-called benefits and amenities. And we want to empower and uplift each other, because it's not just money, honey. You got to tell the story. Has there been a special episode that really touched your heart recently that you could share with us?
Absolutely. And I'm glad, thank you for asking that question, because I never get tired of telling this story. I had the distinct pleasure to interview my grandmother, who was the matriarch of our family. You know how those other families, you know, we kind of gravitate toward that matriarch, and that matriarch that kind of keeps us together. But my grandmother, she passed away in March of this year, which was tragic. But before she passed away, we kind of went down, everybody kind of got together at her house for Thanksgiving. And I was telling her about the show and how everything was going, and she said, hey, she said, would you like to interview me? And I, you know, and I, the thought never crossed my mind. And at the time, I was like, yeah, Grandma, I'll interview you, thinking that it would just be for practice. But in talking to her, I learned so much about my own family history, and I was able to connect the dots, and that kind of sent me on my own wild path. I'm trying to retrace my roots and everything. That's probably the reason why I say that's probably my most impactful and insightful interview, is because right after she passed, I was able to kind of go back and relook at that interview and realize that, man, we are losing so much of our history, so much of our story when we lose these elders. And that just kind of gave me the motivation to continue to make sure I don't forget to grab that older generation and allow them to tell their story before they're gone. And that's so impactful to me, man. I truly believe that you cannot move forward unless you have a firm grasp and understanding of what happened before you. How did you get to the end? And man, just looking back at the interview and hearing my grandmother's voice just give me affirmation day after day. I may listen to that interview maybe once or twice a week. Whenever I'm feeling distraught or down, I go back and I look at the love and the joy in her eyes, and then just watching her recall those memories and how it brought back such peace in her heart. That gives me the motivation to continue to do what I do. Because I know, you know, I'm not the only one with grandparents out there, great grandparents. And I think that it's really special to be able to give these guys, their families, these interviews and say, hey, this is your family story told by your elder. And, you know, that's a gift that these guys can treasure for generations to come. You know what I'm saying? And then look back and go and say, hey, this is your great-great-great-grandmother. Let her tell you the story in her own words. And I think that's a tremendous gift that we're able to give back to the community.
Absolutely. You know, Henry Louis Gates Jr. did his part with bringing the platform for the DNA history with celebrities, and it's important that we common people realize that taking these moments, if you're going to sit there and captivate other pictures in your phone, other videos, and spend so much time on the phone, take that time, and that's sacred, and use that same device that you use to run a business from your phone and record. Why? Because it's immortality. Each and every one of the veterans that you're giving a chance for the story, even with grandmother transitioning, that's that immortality, that's that upliftment and that empowerment. Because like you said, on a day like today, grandmama's words and that smile, it helps you get through.
Absolutely. And I think that's what kind of gives me purpose, and to be able to know that when they do transition into the other realm and they go, you know, on their next journey in the universe, man, that you're able to kind of look back and have that comfort of knowing that, hey, I'm proud of you. Don't give up. And you can hear that in their words. And I think that's a pretty special thing to have.
That's right. Tell us, where can we hear these stories? Where can we find your platform? Give us the website and information.
Absolutely. Our season just wrapped up. Season one just wrapped up. It'll start airing August 26th on the Easy Way Network. That's www.easyway.com, and you'll be able to navigate. You just search the show. My show banner is right there on the home page on the network. You guys can click on it. My 10-minute story. If you guys, we also run in links. You can find us on DirecTV. You can find us on Roku. Man, we're everywhere. AT&T, I can't even name all of the platforms.
Yes.
Even in all of that, if you forget all of that, you can still find us on Facebook. All the social media, you can find me on Facebook, My 10-Minute Stories, Instagram, My 10-Minute Story. Twitter was a little different because that handle was taken, so you can find me at my 10-minute story with a Y at Twitter. But just reach out, come find me, man, and we love to hear stories. So reach out. We got a website being built right now. We had to tear it down and redesign it because we dropped a test episode and it crashed the website. So we had to go back and kind of get it ready for the volume that we hope to get once we start launching on the 26th of August. But that website, again, is my10minutestories.com. You can definitely catch us there. And as always, man, just reach out. Reach out. We love to just hear stories. We love to just chop it up. You know, my tagline is good times with good people. So if you just want to come on the show, you don't have to have a purpose or design anything. Come on the show. Let's trade some stories. Let's talk about life and just have a good time.
All right, now, but somebody who's listening right now, who is a veteran, you got to give the 1, 2, 3s. If a veteran's sitting there like, "Boy, I got a story for you."
Oh, man, listen. I'm telling you, the cool part about veterans is they're never short on stories. It could be something as mundane as, "Hey, we were in the motor pool." And I mean, that story goes and left field so quick. And that's one thing I love about veterans, man, because you're able to kind of connect no matter what their background is, no matter what their beliefs is, their political system is, that you've always had that one common thread, you know, and being in the suck is that common denominator that brings us all together. And it's so awesome to hear those stories.
Yes. I'm currently calling you from the Middle East, so
I know.
I'm over here with, we got Allison. Well, we got a couple bases out here and all my peeps, mostly military friends. I keep it the same type of family dynamic. Where did you live overseas?
Well, my voluntary overseas tours took us to Germany, mostly. And my wife did some time in Korea. But once we were in Germany, we kind of traveled all over Europe, all over Southwest Asia. I mean, just had a blast. It was so amazing. Shout out to the bros down in Bahrain, of Phi Beta Sigma Incorporated. You know, I always got to show love to the family.
you know, I can literally drive to Bahrain. I'm that close. Bruh, I'm sitting here like, oh my stars, my own brother, you were so close to me.
I know.
And Germany is just a weekend venture. Fun fact, did you know that Rosa Parks' house is relocated in Germany?
I did, yes.
Man.
I did, which is dope. I think that's fascinating. Just going over, you'd be amazed, man, how when you go into like Europe and Asia and you start looking at the statues and sculptures and you realize how dark the world really is, you know what I'm saying? Like, you hear stories about the Moors and all that stuff and how they took society forward. But when you get over there and start looking at those statues and realize just how impactful the culture was for human civilization forward, man, it's transformational. So,
yes. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on today because this is a journey which I've come into my 20s knowing you. We're going through our 30s knowing each other. And every round will go higher and higher. I mean, like, limitless.
Absolutely.
Blessings, brother. For the platform that you're giving the people. Before you leave us, if there is someone out there who... I want you to give us some words of encouragement as the community. What's on your heart? Give us some closing words that's going to help us out during this summer. It is not the hot girl summer that we intended. So we're going to need you to speak some peace all the way to the Middle East. All right. And everybody keep in mind to look for the Easy Way Network. That's right. Look up the Easy Way Network for season 2 coming up on what day?
August 26th. Come check us out.
Check my brother out on Facebook. Catch the Easy Way Network. It is so amazing to have you with me. Limitless blessings to you and yours. I hope that everybody in our... Fairbase family reaches out. Shouts out to everyone, the Nanooks.
Hey, shout out to the
hometown. And to all the brothers and sisters that are out there. May my brother's journey be an example to you all that we together we can share our stories. Dubai, bye, boo.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.